Crypto 101 now in session.
Professor, I have a question.
Welcome, welcome, boys and girls, to the second episode of the Crypto 101. Today, the professor was not able to join us, but what I am going to share with you is just a conversation that FOMO, Crypto, and yours truly, the Crypto Noob, had over about the value of Bitcoin and cryptocurrency in general. We touch upon some of the negatives to the positives and just basically the overall value and why we both think it's here to stay. Hope you like it. Like, there's this three stages, right? You have the people, the institutions, and the governments, right? And right now we're kind of in that stage going into like stage two, because the people already bought it. They bought it for super cheap. And I say the people, not everyone, but now all of a sudden these institutions are buying it. And whether they're buying it for sheer FOMO, like they're just like, I can't miss this opportunity. Like, I have investors that I'm responsible for and I need to, you know, pay them out. So I'm going to go ahead and jump on the Bitcoin train. Like, whatever the reason is, the institutions are jumping behind it. So now you have the governments are essentially just trying to spook you, right? Like, oh, like, you know, you're not gonna be able to use that Bitcoin at McDonald's. And if you do, like, I don't know, I guess maybe they'll tax you. Like, I don't even know how the governments are gonna try and like get involved, but you know they will. And then inevitably, the government's gonna be like, well, crap, we might as well use it too. And that, I think, is like the utopia, so to speak, like for a Bitcoin holder or, you know, like the Bitcoin future that people can foresee. Because again, if my Bitcoin, I can use it at McDonald's here, or McDonald's in Europe or Japan or whatever, and it's all the same. Like, that's kind of the utopia behind it. And if, you know, like, if, so you made a good point. We were talking before we started this podcast, but like, if you go down to Mexico, you know, there's plenty of people that are like earning money here and they ship it out down. It's not just Mexico, but like China, Philippines, wherever. You know, you got to exchange that or send it down, blah, 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 blah. Well, you could just send that Bitcoin straight down, you know, he's like, hey, boom, open up your phone. I just sent you, you know, I just sent you $1,000 or whatever it is, or $1,000 worth of Bitcoin. However that
It's like an international Venmo. You know, you talked about that in the last podcast where Venmo is comparable in the sense that you can just like send money. But when it comes to internationally, I mean, and it holds a greater value down there. Even though the value is the same worldwide, it will hold a greater value in a place where their currency holds a lesser value than like United States dollar.
So I think, okay,
I thought you were going to say something.
No, you're good. So I think, I feel like there's like this, and if you're sitting there, right, like you're sitting there back on the fences, you're like, I don't think this is going to last, right? If you don't think Bitcoin's going to last, what needs to happen? Like, so if you're like the pessimist that says Bitcoin is just inevitably going to fail, in your opinion, how will it fail?
If it were to fail, how would it fail? Yeah. I would say just like any other like stock market, people are just are pulling everything out because of fear of, I don't know, the unknown, or one way, like Armageddon, you know, all of a sudden EPGs happen. We can't use our technology. And now we're stuck with, you know, back to physical assets, physical things like gold or printed currency. So I would say that would be probably the biggest one if it were to happen. Otherwise, just like any kind of stocks where you think about the 30s and stuff where people are just pulling out of their stocks. And so if people were just starting to, I don't know, somehow, some way, people just got crazy scared with cryptocurrency, you can cash out and or trade it elsewhere. So I think if we're talking Bitcoin in general, that's what I would think. But cryptocurrency in general, I'd say if somehow, hackings were a thing and end up happening, I would say that, or like Armageddon where we can't tap into our crypto or our digital currency, digital assets.
Yeah, no, I think I agree. If we're living in a Mad Max world, you know, like we're all just roaming the the nuked out desert, then yeah. We're
yeah.
And that's where, so that's kind of where I think I come in, is that like, okay, like I have a 401k, I got stocks, and what's it going to hurt for me to put, you know, X amount or X percent into a cryptocurrency that,
yeah,
worst case scenario, I guess just doesn't work out. But I just think it's like, you're on the footsteps and you're on the, if you do any kind of reading besides just listening to the two of us or the three of us, you know, whoever it is, you do any kind of reading about it, you will see that like the future, there's more possible, yeah, like bright spots, you know, like you just have this like crazy, like one Bitcoin could be worth $21 million. Okay. Say it never hits $21 million. Say it's worth $250,000 like 5 years from now. And you bought it for $50,000. That's still a good investment, right? Like you, yeah, still like came out on top, but,
or even a fraction of, like I said, we don't have to buy a whole Bitcoin, but the fact that you just invested a little bit into Bitcoin and it did get up to, you know, X variable of what you invested, you're still made a good chunk of money. And I think you're making a good point, because the future is headed more digital. I think everyone can agree to that. And the fact that that this is becoming more and more popular, more and more accepted by banking institutions, it holds more value there. And like I said, that's when I started getting into it. I did want to see if I thought it was a great thing, and I didn't think it was a scary kind of a thing in the beginning, I would have gotten to it 3 years ago when my friend was trying to explain it to me, and I was like, that just sounds like fake. Like, it doesn't make any sense. But you start being more educated into it, and you start realizing, like, okay, there's digital asset. It comes down to the supply and demand of that asset and that digital asset. And now that these banking institutions are using it because they need to cover their assets, that they're coming up with all these fake money loans. They're seeing the value in it, and we are heading more towards. I mean, you can pay with your card that was a physical thing, or cash with your phone. I mean, because it's tied, yeah, to your bank. So it's definitely headed that way.
Yeah. And I think you make an interesting point too. So like, you're right, everything's digital, whether you're still on an old flip phone or, you know, the iPhone 5, like wherever you are in the digital age, like the digital age is advancing with or without you, right? Like, you might not want Bitcoin, but guess what? Your kids, your grandkids, they will own Bitcoin. Who knows? Maybe, yeah, even their 401ks will invest in Bitcoin for them. And that's kind of starting to happen too. But I think, it's like, you're so worried that something bad is going to happen. The possibilities of those bad things happening versus like the good things, it feels to me that the two don't equal out, right? Or that the bad doesn't outweigh the good. Because, and I think this is actually important, right? So right now, as of today, like this is what, March? I don't even know the date today. Oh my gosh. Is it the 22nd?
22nd, yeah.
22nd. So the price of Bitcoin as we speak right now, is it $54,000? What is it?
It is at
54,000.
Yep.
So it helps that you and the professor bought it at a significantly lower price than that. It doesn't help for me, who's still trying to buy into that $54,000. But I think it'll be interesting, if nothing else, to document. Like, I can't wait from like 6 months from now, like when we're sitting here and being like, oh, Bitcoin's worth X, you know what I mean? And I have no idea, yeah, if Bitcoin drops all the way down below the price that you might have bought it. I don't know. That'll be an interesting conversation to see what you do with it. Because obviously, I think when you boil it all down, like, you can talk about the decentralized banking, you can talk about the fear of missing out. It feels like it makes sense. And I wish I could explain it better, but it's like, you're more likely to miss out on something than you are to like have it blow up in your face. Does that make sense? I don't think I'm wording that right.
I think I want to make this point too. The value of Bitcoin as well is that it is so much more accessible to the average Joe. Like I said, yeah, it seems way out of anybody's league because you have to pay, you know, $54,000 for one Bitcoin. But you can, with its history and with its projected history, because there's a lot more smarter guys out there, as I'm sure a lot of people listening can tell, than me, that are have huge statistics about how it will increase, just not based off of a hope that more people buy into it, but what the current state that people have bought into it. So yeah, I think it's a lot more accessible than buying stocks. Stocks to me is old school, and I think I'm not the only one that feels that way because this is more of a digital thing. It's more comfortable. It's more in my realm, versus having to, you think of stocks, as the roaring 20s is when it was the good thing. And I could be, and that's where I could be missing out on too, because
You know what? Hey,
I almost bought
I
into
was just
Tesla
gonna
stocks.
say, if you had Tesla stock, you'd be singing a different tune right
Oh,
now.
I would be. I would be. If I would have, I was going to buy in when it was $120,
You would have
and everyone's
multiplied.
like, and yeah, I should trust my gut. So, and I want to add this too, the value. This is investing. Like, you shouldn't be putting your savings into this. You shouldn't be putting to selling your house and live in a small apartment so you could put a huge chunk because Bitcoin's gonna,
Like,
you
I
just
gotta
know
get
it's gonna.
that 54 grand.
This is, you want to put what you can, just like any kind of investment, into investment is always risky. It's always uncertain. You can never say what the price of the Dow is going to be tomorrow. You can never say what the price of Teslas is going to be tomorrow. Heaven forbid all the Teslas out there blow up and kill hundreds of thousands of people, and so everyone's like, screw this, I'm out. So yeah, it the biggest thing is, like I said, if the digital world disappeared, which is hard to believe, I think that'd be the biggest downfall. Or like I said, if somehow, some way, someone was able to tap into Bitcoin, I think they'd tap into way more other things. But they've been trying. Like I said, it's not, I'm sure people have been trying, but the blockchain is way more in depth. It's a big rabbit hole that you can learn a lot of information on. Yeah, like I said, the value is, I think it's more comfortable for this modern day and people growing into digital stocks. I mean, it would be interesting to see the average age of those who buy cryptocurrency, but a
That
lot
would
of
be a very interesting
a lot
statistic to
of
hear.
a lot of people who have been buying stocks for years are just diversifying. So I think it's just, if you already have stocks, it wouldn't hurt to diversify in a digital currency.
So we'll wrap this up a little bit. Like, we're swimming out in the deep
Yeah.
end without the professor to bring us back into
Yep.
the shallow end.
Yeah.
But so, and this is my brother. So my brother writes this, and I think this is a really good question because I know lots of people think about this. And again, if you know nothing about cryptocurrency and you've heard of Bitcoin, you're like, cool. But shocker alert, there's like, wait, how many coins are there? You said it earlier. How many?
There's been at least over 1,000 or 10,500 as of like a month ago, and so everyone's trying to replicate Bitcoin, and a lot of people are
Yes.
trying in some way or some form.
So he asked me, he says, if there's no regulation, can't anyone with enough technical knowledge make a crypto coin? Why not? The answer is no. So the answer is yes, right? Like you, I, and the professor, we could create our own coin. I don't think any of us are smart enough, but we could, right?
Exactly. It's kind of like followers, why do so many people have so many more followers than others in social media? Those who have a great following or a great reason for people to follow them will have way more people involved in their social life than us who are like, yeah, I've got a couple hundred people on Facebook, not really on it anymore, but it's, so I think that's what it holds, and so it just depends on. Or if a billionaire starts throwing out names like Doge and all this stuff, then yeah, those prices will go up. So just like Tesla stocks went up when people realized Elon Musk could send a rocket and then have it land on a platform and to reuse. So I mean, people talk crap about Tesla all day long, and then but they like to see physical. Seeing is believing for a lot of people, and that's why
True.
Bitcoin has always stayed on top because of its history.
Yeah, and I think, and we'll delve into this like at a much later date probably, but like different coins have different utilities, and some of these are literally useless. And it's literally, like you said, Elon Musk likes Dogecoin, and Dogecoin goes from 3 cents to 6 cents, and that's literally double your money. And if you can imagine how many tokens you can buy for 3 cents, it's an insane amount of money.
It was like it was created on a joke.
A joke, right?
And it basically, but the digital demand and people, I don't know. It's just funny to see, but it's crazy way you can make a crazy amount of money pretty fast.
Yeah. So just for to put myself out there, do you own any Dogecoin?
I do not.
I do,
but it's always tempting. I was gonna say it's so tempting because the value is so low, and like you said, if one person says something, it could double. So
okay, so I own 657 tokens of Dogecoin. Okay, sadly bought it at around 6 cents. It sadly, as we speak today, is worth 5.5 cents. I don't even know how that works. Yeah, 0.055. So I've literally lost. But I mean, it was.
You never know. Tomorrow it could be 7 cents.
You know what? Honestly, like if it went to a dollar, I'd be. But I think so. And I think, like, and again, we could talk about it later, like how to invest and like what to invest. But my brother's not wrong. Anyone can create anything. But most of them fail. Most of them are like had, so to speak, or caught. You know what I mean? And again, it's the ones. And again, maybe we'll do this on our next podcast, but like these tokens have utilities. They have and I think that adds to the value. And maybe we should have hit on that a little more, but like these coins are there, but these coins actually do something, and they provide almost like a service, or actually service is the wrong word, a platform. Like you can use Bitcoin to do other things. It might not be things you know about, but guess what? If you and I buy Bitcoin and the professor is using that Bitcoin to build something bigger and greater and make more money on it, well, that benefits all of us, right?
Yeah.
So we'll have to kind of touch on that a little bit. But anyways, any last thoughts on why cryptocurrency is valuable?
No, I think I kind of hit on the ones that I wanted to kind of go over. Yeah, I don't see it as a trend. I think a lot of people wonder if it's going to be a trend. Maybe some of these currencies might be considered trends. Yes. However, when you have large institutions purchasing out of things or purchasing Bitcoin, a digital asset, and I mean, I'm talking large amounts of Bitcoin. And
billions sometimes.
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, Tesla is a good example, buying $1.5 billion worth of Bitcoin. So it's just like, and there's just other big companies around the corner who see the value in it, who do a lot more research than a FOMO crypto or a crypto noob. And so I would say Bitcoin, since we've been talking about it, holds a lot more value. Then a lot of people want to give it, you know, I mean, this is just within months. So it's new. And that's why the FOMO crypto came into play with cryptocurrencies. Cause it's like that, when I saw that, I was like, okay, it's gotta be pretty legit. And I did my research a little more. And that's what I encourage anybody to do. But if you just want to kind of get scratch the surface, yeah, that's what we do.
Yeah, I think, I mean, if you're just like, you're listening to this because you're a skeptic or whatever, I mean, hopefully we've said enough to like maybe convince you a little bit, but like, honestly, just go read for yourself. I mean, it's everywhere. It's starting to spread, like where, you know, JP Morgan and all these people are starting to like add it to their portfolios and add it to like, oh, you don't have to buy the Bitcoin, but we have a fund set up that's going to basically invest in Bitcoin for you. So you get to profit off the profits without actually ever investing. So, but we can get into all that.
Billy's the professor is a good name dropper. He retains a lot more information of like what large companies have invested, and he does a lot of research on that. And I'm more of like, I see it once and I'm like, yeah, I'm more FOMO. I'm like, I read it once, and I don't really care as long as I read it and process it through my brain, and then I'm like, all right.
And again, I hope the I hope it doesn't happen, but it'd be interesting to see if the Bitcoin actually dropped below the price you bought it for. That'd be an interesting.
That
I'm
would
not
be
hoping
pretty
that.
sad,
I
but
was
that's
I'm personally not hoping for that because that means I would lose even more. But it would be an interesting conversation to see what happens. But again, we'll keep our fingers crossed on that. But all right, hopefully we did a good job without the professor. Hopefully he can join us next time. He's got like 13 kids on a farm or something like that, so it's kind of hard to wrangle up. But anyways, I think that was good. Hopefully you guys like it. Leave some messages or comments, and feel
Yeah,
free to
questions.
drop
Give
us
us
a line.
some give us some questions. We'd like I think it'd be I think we'll end up doing we'll give out the information about cryptocurrency, and then we want to do something like this, answer any questions that we might have received, a shorter version of a podcast or YouTube video.
Yeah, let us know what you guys are thinking, like what's on your mind. Like, well, what about this? What about that? And then hopefully we can explain it. So, all right, man. Well, FOMO on crypto noob, I guess that's it for tonight.
Peace.
All right.
Thank you for listening, and please remember that these gentlemen are not financial advisors.